Welcome to Leute in Leipzig, the podcast that explores the vibrant stories and diverse voices of the incredible people who call Leipzig home. I'm your host, Ashley, and each episode we'll meet someone new, share their journey, and discover the hidden gems in this beautiful city. Whether you're a resident, planning a visit, or just curious about the city, you're in the right place. This is Leute in Leipzig, where every voice has a story. Hello everybody and guten Tag. Today, I am very pleased to welcome an amazing and wonderful human being. During the day, she is an Irish professor at the uni, and during the night, she is discovering songs for her radio show. She has a mix of social charm, friendliness, and is always a joy to have around. Plus, she is a big restaurant expert. I am happy to welcome Emma.
Hello. That's the nicest introduction I've ever gotten in my whole life. Thank you.
I'm glad. So, Emma, very important part of information. In which Stadtteil do you live? In which part of the city?
I currently live in Leipzig Ost. Everyone uses the Kaufland there as the kind of point of reference, so I'm very near to the Kaufland. I can walk there.
Yeah? So, please, tell me a little bit about you.
Okay, well, you obviously introduced me. I think calling me a professor is a bit of a jump, but we'll get to that. Well, my name is Emma Power, or Emma de Poyer in Irish. I'm Irish. I'm from a place called Dungarvan in County Waterford in Ireland in the sunny southeast. I moved to Germany in 2019 after completing my bachelor in German and Irish. I'd already lived in Bonn in the west for a year for my Erasmus. So I knew that I wanted to somehow return to Germany. So nice. Yeah, I moved here and then I became a so-called professor, i.e. I teach Irish at the university. I'm not yet a professor, but... Yeah.
So I would like to start a little bit with your backstory, a little bit from your childhood. So you said you're Dungarvan. Am I pronouncing it right?
Dungarvan, yeah.
That's your hometown? Did you were born there or that's where you
I was born, up? Yeah, I was it's the county is Waterford. I was born in the nearby city in the hospital there. And yeah, my family are from Dungarvan. And I lived there up until the age of 20.
And 20?
Yeah. Nice. Otherwise, I was in college in the other nearby city. But for all of my life, I grew up in Dungarvan. It's a small-ish town. It's a big town in as it goes for towns in Ireland. A lot of people would know it. There's about just over 10,000 people living there.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm not a big city slicker. Yeah. But I come from the centre of the town. So you'd call me a townie in Ireland. Yeah, I kind of...
Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
If anyone's listening who knows Ireland, like I am a townie, I'm not really a country person. I grew up there going to school. My schooling was fully in Irish. I suppose that's one of the main points about me. My primary schooling was fully Oscailge or in Gaelic or in Irish Gaelic, whatever you want to call it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So in the school, the second language was English, like it was primarily
We weren't allowed to speak English.
Wow.
That was the thing. The only time we were allowed to speak English was during the English lesson, so to say. So I did that when up to the age of 11, and then I kind of didn't want to go on to secondary schooling in Irish because it was a smaller school. I wanted to stay in the town.
Yeah.
And I went through my secondary schooling then in English, but I was fluent in Irish by then.
Nice. And is that like an exception, like primary complete Irish schools, or it's like a standard?
It's definitely not the standard, no. But a lot of people would go through schooling in Irish if there is a... It's called a Gael school.
Yeah.
Gael for Gaelge for Irish, and school is school. So if there's a Gaelscoil in the area, most kids would, a lot of parents would want to send them to that school. A lot of people wouldn't want to either, but I think it gives the child a very good advantage in life. They're already fluent in the language. Whether or not they go on and use it is another question, but it's Irish is a compulsory subject in school in Ireland, so yeah. It can only set you up for a better chance, even just passing exams.
Yeah, nice, cool. And could you describe us a little bit your town, like for our listeners? Like, I don't know if you can compare it to Leipzig, but that's what we all have in common.
Compared to Leipzig, I can't compare. No, I can't. I actually can't. It's a little seaside town. There's lots of pubs there, okay. As there is now every town in Ireland. It's very specific when you're there, and I love it, and I love Leipzig. Maybe that's the one thing that I could put together. But
does everybody knows everybody? If somebody happens.
Oh, everyone knows. That's the thing. I think that's one of the reasons why I eventually wanted to leave, because everyone knows your business. Everyone knows everyone. When you go out in the nighttime, I think that's a big difference for me personally. If I go out on a Saturday night in Dungarvan, I know I'm going to go out and meet old friends, old acquaintances, old colleagues from work. And, you know, it's such a social thing. I'm not really meeting anyone new very often. I'm more so kind of returning to a crew of people that I might have seen in years. But when I go out here in Leipzig, I wouldn't know, you know, you walk into a bar and you wouldn't know many people. Yeah. And if you did run into someone, I would be like, oh, what are you doing here? You know, you don't even know. I suppose for me, I don't know a lot of people, enough people to say, oh, I know this person is always in this bar, or this is their local, or this is where they hang out. So I think there's more differences, I think, than similarities. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And it's interesting that you say that, because I've heard a lot of people that say that Leipzig is a big town. Like, you can meet everybody in just like a couple of places. Like, it's not very varied. That's what I've heard.
I do agree. I think maybe half the problem is I don't go out as much as I used to in Ireland. I'm living a much quieter life here. So I do agree with that. I do recognize more people here as I go along my daily life, but in Dungarvan, when I go home, it's, oh, hi, Emma. Well, Emma, how are you? Oh, you're home. When are you going back? Yeah. How long are you here for? How are you? And they kind of even know what's going on with my life in Germany. Okay, but that's also because I overshare on social media. I don't think that's... Okay. Yeah.
And from your school classmates, did most of them stay in Dungarvan, or the younger people tend to leave the place?
There's not many people left in Dungarvan, but there's not many young people left in Ireland at all. Ireland has a big emigration culture. Okay. Goes back quite a long time, I suppose, but Ireland is quite expensive, and job opportunities, you'd kind of have to go to a bigger city, but again, there's not many big cities in Ireland. You've Dublin, Cork, Galway, etc. But some of my friends are still in Dungarvan. A couple of my good friends are there, but they have nice teaching jobs, you know, and you know that you can have a good life there if you get a job. But I suppose moving abroad or moving to a bigger city, you've definitely more opportunities, you know. There's only so many schools in the town. There's only so many, I don't know, computer companies that someone could get a job with whatever they've studied, you know. Yeah. So when I do go home, it depends on the time of the year, who I might see.
Yeah.
Christmas, I don't go home, so I don't get to see everyone who returns. It depends. A lot of my friends live abroad now, so, and not in Germany. So we all kind of have to maneuver around times and somehow try and meet, whether at home or on the continent somewhere.
Okay, interesting. And would you say you had a nice childhood?
I've such fond memories of, and I love coming home. My grandmother lived right down on the seaside, looking out over the bay, and it was, in my opinion, the nicest house in the whole of the town. Not the house itself, but where it was, you know. And I'm very close with all my cousins, and we all used to spend time there. I loved school. School was great. I was a good student. I made lots of friends there. I was able to meet then friends around my house. I've also friends from the countryside as well who would often come in. So yeah. There was lots going on when I was younger, and I was able to meet most of the young people of the town, and that in turn then allows me to, yeah, you know, meet them all again when I return home. But yeah, my childhood was great. It was, I can't complain.
Nice. And you grew up with brothers or sister?
My sister Siobhan, just me and her in the house, and there's 4 years between us. So okay, it was, I suppose, for a couple of years, you know, I was a teenager and she wasn't, but yeah, we're close again now, which yeah, is good. She lives in Leipzig too, so we've reunited, yeah, in another country.
Yeah, that's nice. Like having family here, mm, I suppose it's, yeah, you have a little bit of Ireland here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Nice. Yeah.
And after high school, you studied in Ireland, your mm-hmm, bachelor?
I moved to Cork City, which is probably, yeah, it's the biggest city on the south coast. And I did a 4-year course in, originally it was supposed to be German, Spanish and Irish, but I gave up quite quickly on the Spanish. Well, I did 2 years and then I did my third year abroad, and I just couldn't do the Spanish classes with the teacher translating everything into German, and then I had to go home and translate the German into English and then back into Spanish to understand, you know, what was going on. So I gave that up. But I studied in Cork for 3 years. I was there, and it was a 4-year course and 1 year abroad, as I said, in Bonn. So that's, I have a big place in my heart for Cork also. Nice. I love Cork, and there is a rivalry between Waterford and Cork, so my county and that county, sports wise, but I love it. I love the city. It's, you know,
how big is it?
I couldn't tell you now how many people live there, but it's giving Leipzig vibes, maybe.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Okay. It would give Leipzig vibes.
Is it also like a student?
Yeah, city? Yeah, definitely. It's probably, yeah, there and Dublin and Galway would be the three, and Limerick maybe, the four main cities, student cities. There's other smaller ones as well, but so don't kill me if anyone's listening, saying, well, I'm in here. But, you know, Cork is kind of the biggest one for the south, because there's two colleges, or the university and an institute of technology. So you have a lot of students coming in every year.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Cool. When I think about Ireland, personally, it doesn't come to mind that it's like an island.
Yeah.
Like when I picture like an island life, like Ireland doesn't come to place. Like, do you feel like you come from an island?
Well, from where you come from now, islands are much different than Ireland. Very good question. I suppose the first time I realized that I became aware of Ireland being an island is when I actually moved to Germany, to Bonn, and I was able to just get on a train or a Flixbus and go to another country. I was shook. I couldn't believe it. Whereas anywhere I would want to go in Ireland, I have to get on a plane, unless I get on a 24-hour boat to France or across to the UK. But, you know, you have to, like, going abroad is such a thing in Ireland, because you have to go to the airport, whereas here you can just get your bus or your train across. Like, you know, when I was in Bonn, I was able to go to Amsterdam, I was able to go down to France, over to Italy, like, no problem. And same here, we can go, you know, we can go more east or south. So yeah, that's one big thing. I suppose the other thing is the sea, and where I come from, obviously I'm not from the Midlands, but where I come from, there's sea. I've a beach readily available whenever I want to, but it's not the island life beach with a bikini and sunglasses. The beach for me in Ireland is a big winter jacket and the wind blowing in your face. But I love that. I used to go to the beach when I was hungover to have, like, I don't know, I used to get my friends to drive me to the local beach after a night out, just to kind of let the wind blow all my sins away from the night before. And of course, there are sunny days, but I wasn't on the beach on a sunny day. Do you know, I don't really associate it with that. But swimming is always cold. You know, it is an island in one sense, but it's also the cold type.
Yeah. And in summer, is it like that too?
Depends on the summer, I suppose. Okay. Yeah. If you get a good summer, a hot day you'd be hitting 25, 26 degrees Celsius, which, you know, is good here as well. But anything above that, we're dying. And I think everyone loves it for the first 4 days. And then if it goes on further, everyone's complaining because our houses aren't built for the heat. Like they're built to hold in heat.
Mm-hmm.
But you could also have a really wet summer and it's just raining constantly, which has happened most of my life.
Can you describe us like, okay, my picture from my home country of an island is like, because we have islands too.
Yeah.
Like this, like the sand and the palm trees and the like gold sand and the blue water. Of blue skies.
Yeah.
And
Blue skies maybe, but I suppose, yeah, along... No, you have a nice coastline if you're lucky. You know, where I'm from, the local beach, if you look, don't ask me north, south, east, west, I don't know, with your face to the water, you look left. There's a lovely little cliff face there and you can go along and there's lovely greenery, not palm trees, but greenery around. Ireland is quite green. It does live up to the expectations, I suppose. And the water... If you're on a windy autumn or a spring day, you know, the water is quite rough. It's crashing, but I really, it's quite cathartic to listen to. It's really nice. It's really peaceful.
Nice.
It's not much. You sometimes get the ebb and flow, you know, where it's calm. But for me, when I used to go, we'd make a point to go when it was a little bit more windy. And I don't know, there's just a totally different feeling on an Irish beach. Don't get me wrong. In the summer, you can have really, really nice days on the beach, but I was never really a summery beach gal. Up until recently, I wasn't. Mm. So you'll have more kind of nice, and depending where you are, like if you're on the west coast of Ireland, oh my God, the views are breathtaking. I haven't even travelled the whole west coast. I want to do it eventually. Yeah. But it's not so much a relaxing by the beach thing. It's more so, wow, look how lovely it is. The wind in your face. If it's calm, you know, the sun, but again, you know, it's the Atlantic Ocean as well. It's quite wild.
Yeah. Nice. But it sounds very, very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you made the decision to come to Leipzig. Can you draw us a picture? How was your life in this moment when you decided, okay, I'm moving there?
Well, I'd actually already decided I was going to come back to Germany when I finished my Erasmus. I loved living in Bonn so much. I made so many friends. It's such good fun that I said, I'm going back. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll go back for however long. I don't know. So I'd finished my bachelor and spent the summer in Cork working in a cafe. And I decided then that I was going to move in the January of 2019. And some friends were moving also that were coming from both Ireland and other countries, mainly France, actually, some friends that we'd all known each other from Erasmus. So we were obviously going to go to Berlin. Where do you go if you want to go to Germany? Go to Berlin. But a friend of mine said, well, I don't know, maybe I heard about Leipzig. Leipzig could be good. And I was kind of saying, oh, no, blah, 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 you know, and I said, oh, no, I think I'll still go to Berlin. And I had another friend who was going to come and she then couldn't. And there was kind of a lot of people in the mix of when it was happening. And then some friends moved before I did because I wanted to save up money.
Yeah.
They were of the opinion, look, we'll come over, we'll arrive, we'll live in a hostel, we'll find a place. Yeah. I don't roll like that. No, I can't arrive with no plan. I'll implode. So I waited until January of 2019 to move over and I had enough money to save up. I had enough money saved up so that I had time to kind of explore, settle, see what I wanted to do. I booked to do a month B1 course, B2 course, even though I just got my bachelor in German. My grammar was, and still is, shocking. So I wanted to kind of brush up on that, but I also thought I could make some friends.
Yeah.
So I'd arrived and then I had no plan. The plan was 6 months. I found an apartment for sublet for 6 months until July, and I thought, perfect, I'll return to Ireland for September and start a master's in German-Irish relations, believe it or not. And I had that in my head, and then everything changed.
So your plan was basically come to Germany 6 months, work, and then return for the master's?
Yeah, just brush up on my German. I had my Irish, obviously. Yeah. I was living in Ireland. I could practice that whenever I wanted to, but I wanted to, yeah, gain more experience in German. Yeah, work in a cafe, something like that. I wasn't picky. I had plenty of experience in most fields, so I was able and I could speak, so I wasn't worried about it. Yeah, and 6 months.
And as a Irish citizen, you can just come here and work, get a job.
Yeah, no, no one asks any questions.
Okay. And did you research the city before, like, or you just went with the flow and let, like, you convince yourself, okay, it's not Berlin, but...
I looked up some videos on YouTube and, like...
What were videos?
Oh, I don't know, like, 5 top things to do in Leipzig.
Okay.
And then they do these drone videos of Leipzig, you know, and... Yeah, obviously then I heard someone say, yeah, it's the new Berlin, Leipzig, like all of this kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, cool, whatever, like, whatever. I honestly didn't mind. And I suppose the other thing was I wanted to practice my German.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, actually, you're right, Berlin, I have less of a chance of practicing my German.
Yeah.
In Leipzig, you know, I presumed that I didn't really think about the Sächsisch element.
Yeah.
That's a whole other situation. But yeah, I thought, fine, let's go there. I lived also, when I lived in Bonn, it was a Bonn, it wasn't Cologne, you know? I lived near the big city. So I was like, yeah, it's the same idea. I know Bonn is closer to Cologne, but I thought, yeah, whenever I want to go to Berlin, I can just go to Berlin.
So you made the decision, you came to Leipzig, and how was it at the beginning? Like, where did you stay? Like, where did you live?
I stayed with a friend. So the friends that had already moved over, they had a VG. And they had in just at Angerbrücke, just over the bridge in the at the tram stop there, which, yeah, contributed to my experience. So when I arrived, it was a really cold winter. I don't know if anyone's here in 2019. It was really, really snowy. I remember in the first weeks, lakes in the little lake or ponds, whatever you want to call them, in Clara Park were frozen over. I was able to walk on those. You know, I hadn't really, in Ireland, we don't really get snow, especially when you're beside the sea. There's not much snow unless you're in the mountains, but we wouldn't really have heavy snow ever. Maybe once or twice every 6 years. So for me, I hadn't really seen proper snow. Yeah. So that was exciting. We lived in this little VG together. There was a third small room where there was a couch that they found Suvarshenken on the street. I don't even want to think about it. But ran to Primark the day I arrived and, you know, bought a duvet and pillows and kind of set it up and tried to hide the fact that they found, thank God I didn't get any disease, but they found it on the street. And I was able they found, the people, my friends in the VG had found the couch on the street, but it was like a pull-out bed.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was, it was the width, if you can imagine a couch, an L couch from IKEA, that was the width of the room. It just fit either side.
Okay.
And it was almost the length of the room. It was a really, really small room. But I was able to settle there for 3 weeks, it was actually, or 3.5 weeks, until I found an apartment myself in Gohlis, would you believe?
Wow.
Yeah, so the first weeks, I was catching up with my friends. We were just having a time. We're having a great time. Yeah. And I was supposed to then start my B2 German course in the February. So I had 3 weeks of kind of, just exploring Leipzig. And because my friends had been here already, they were able to bring me to the places, you know, the hotspots. Okay. So I kind of had a little mini tour guide from the lads. So... I wasn't totally lost when I was here. It was quite nice.
Yeah. And how was it living in Gohlis? Like, it's in, like, for me, it's very far away in the north.
Yeah. Yeah. At the time, my friends were like, oh no, don't go to Gohlis. And I was like, no. I found, because this, it worked out perfectly. The guy that I wanted to do the Untermieter, the sublet from, he was going to Russia until July and I wanted to leave in July or August. Yeah. So it worked out perfect. The price was nice. It was a it was a studio flat, but it was shaped so well that you walked in and it was kind of almost in a C shape, if you can imagine that, that you walk in and you turn left. The kitchen is when you walk in, then you turn left and there's a living room and then you turn left again and there's a little nook for the bed. So it didn't really feel like a studio. And it was really nice and I was right on Copyplatz. So you had the S-Bahn, the bus and the tram.
Okay.
Like it was perfect for me.
Yeah.
And because again, this whole 6 months thing, I was like, whatever, who cares? Yeah. But it did get a bit... it did feel a little bit far, especially after a night out, I have to say. But when I found my job then in the March of 2019 in the university.
So you arrived on?
In January.
January, and you found the job in
March. I found the job at the start of March, maybe the end of February, but I got offered the job in March. And it was in the university, so it was actually, I got it during the semester ferien, so I was supposed to be starting then in April.
Yeah.
And then I thought, wow, okay. Well, I'm definitely going to stay for longer than 6 months.
So this job, you found it already in Leipzig. So you didn't have any idea of the job in Ireland?
No, I found it. Someone sent it to me. A friend of mine living in Bonn saw it on Facebook. It was from University Leipzig. Facebook saying University Leipzig is looking for an Irish teacher. Please send your... Lally, 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 including PhD. And like, I didn't have any of that.
How old were you?
22.
So 22, you were sending an application to be a professor in the Uni Leipzig.
Look, it's not a professor, a teacher. I'm not entitled to that title yet. But yeah, to be the Irish lecturer, teacher. I don't know the terminology, the jargon here. The Irish teacher for... the Bachelor of, well, it's under the BA Minderheitensprache and Minority Languages, European Minority Languages, under the Sorbian Institute, the Institute for Sorbistik, which is a minority language in this area, in the east of Germany. So, yeah, I knew nothing. I sent my, I actually saw it myself and I thought, oh God, no, I don't have a PhD. Forget about it. But someone else sent it to me and was like, did you see this? And I was like, yeah, no. And she was like, Emma, if you don't apply for that, you're such an idiot. And I was like, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I drew up my CV in Irish and wrote everything in Irish and sent it off. And I remember I was on a little day trip to Prague or a weekend trip. And I got a call. I was standing at the Charles Bridge in Prague. Loads of tourists around me and someone called me. And it was the current, like the lecturer of Irish at the time.
Yeah.
And he's from Donegal, which is the north, like the most north part of Ireland.
So the telephone number was an German. Irish number?
No, oh, the German number. But he spoke to me in Irish and I hadn't spoken Irish in months because I'd finished my bachelor in the June of 2018. Yeah. And this was now February. But the other thing is I'm from the south. I speak a Munster Irish dialect, okay? And he's from the north. He speaks an Ulster Irish dialect. That's the names of the provinces.
Mm-hmm.
So have you seen Derry Girls on, okay?
Yeah.
If you're from the north, you speak quite melodically in English as well. You speak up and down like that. And the accent can be quite difficult. I'm butchering it. But anyway, imagine that right in English. It's still difficult for someone, you know, to understand it because they're not used to it. I hadn't heard a Donegal Irish accent in years. And because I wasn't so well read on the different dialects, I really had to concentrate on what he was saying. Obviously, all the tourists were around me. I had my finger in my ear being like, yeah, hello, like in Irish as well, trying to talk to him. He did a quick little, asked me a couple of questions in Irish and then passed me over to another woman who spoke to me in English.
Okay.
She asked me questions and she was like, okay, we'll get back to you. And then hung up the phone. And I was like, okay. What was that? I definitely botched that one anyway. Like, I'm definitely not getting that job.
Oh, no.
But yeah, and then I got an email on a Sunday evening.
On the same Sunday?
No, a couple of weeks later, I think. And they offered me the job. They were like, please accept as soon as possible. I actually, I know this. They had picked someone else before me. but he wasn't actually in Germany, and he pulled out. He didn't actually end up wanting to come in the end. So I was the second choice. But who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Like, wow, amazing.
Yeah.
You were in a vacation in Prague that you didn't... You weren't expecting
it? No.
It was a life-changing phone call.
Yeah, like... I don't I don't even know what I'd be doing right now without this, because I really didn't have a solid plan beforehand. This really just this has had such an impact on the rest of my life since then. Over the last 5 years, it's unbelievable.
Nice.
I definitely wouldn't be sitting here with you right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. So you were settling in, like you told me, you had a couple of friends that came before. And you were going out, like, what were your go-to places at the beginning? What did they show you from Leipzig?
One of the first experiences of Leipzig I had was actually in Am Canal over in Plagwitz. Have you ever been?
Yeah.
It's a little, for anyone who hasn't been, it's right on the corner of a little, actually my friend lives right near it now, but it's a little corner bar, local bar, smoker's bar. I had also not really often been in a smoker's bar either. And, you know, you can get schnitzel at 2 o'clock in the morning there. So we spent one evening there, and I'll never forget it. There was a drunken Saxon man at the bar who kept coming over and talking to us. And he barely any teeth in his head. And I couldn't understand him because he had no teeth, because he spoke fully Saxon. Like, I couldn't, and I had never heard it before. You know, you got to imagine, I'd come from... So learning Hochdeutsch in the university, and when I was in Bonn, you know, they don't, there was a little bit of Kölsch in Bonn, or a bunch, or whatever you want to call it, but, you know, never anything like this. And he was super drunk as well. So mix all of that together, I was like, where am I? What am I doing here?
Like that was Saxon telling hello, like saying hello.
And hello, welcome home, Emma. And I was... It was quite funny, actually. And the lads that I was with, like, they were egging him on more. You know, they were... See, I couldn't even communicate with him, whereas since they'd been here a little bit longer, they'd understood it some more. So, yeah, we were there, and I'd often actually go to Bayerhaus as well, which is just behind Wilhelm Leuschner Platz. Bayerhaus, it's kind of a craft... Not a craft beer bar.
That's on the Bayerischer Bahnhof?
No, it's near Bayerischer Bahnhof, but it's Bayerhaus. Okay. I think it's still open. I'm sure it is. I haven't been there in years, though. Yeah. But they have 3 pool tables there, and it's like a big hall, and you can get all different beers. You can get Kölsch there. You can get pints of Guinness. You can also get, like, lots of different German beers. But how I found it was the guy that I was going to sublet from invited us there to sign the contract of the... apartment.
Yeah.
So he invited, when we had some pints together, and that's how I found it. So that was one other place. And what I suppose this isn't eating or drinking, but I started climbing. I used to go to Block No Limit in the east as well, which was quite far, I suppose, from the west. And then when I moved to Golis, it was a bit closer, but it's still not the closest. Nothing's close to Golis. So. But I'd spend a lot of time there because, again, you have to remember, I didn't have a job for the first 2 months.
Yeah.
So I was free to do whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. And nightlife, like bars?
Nightlife, we used to... Where was I? Oh, of course, yeah. I've obviously went to EFZ for the first time, and I hadn't been to a big club like that since Bonn, two years prior. Great night. Lots more friends had come to visit who we knew from Erasmus as well. So we had a really, 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 really good night there. But I actually hadn't been there since then.
Yeah.
Like the last time I was there then was actually last year. I gave a big, big, big break between it. I used to love it in Bonn, I suppose, because it was so new and we traveled to Cologne to go to techno clubs. I'm not as much on that buzz anymore.
Okay.
But I have to say we did have a great night there. But other than that, we spent a lot of time on the Carly. Again, nothing too underground at all. But there were some good nights, but also in that little VG that we started in, like, we'd often just hang out there.
Okay, cool. And, you came in winter. And how was that transition to spring, summer in Leipzig? Like,
Yeah, lovely. See, I knew it was going to come. This is the thing. I lived in Germany before. I knew that just because the winter is cold doesn't mean I have to suffer for the whole year.
Yeah.
So I was eagerly awaiting spring and summertime. We went to Melt Festival in the summer in July.
Okay.
Which is near enough to here, not too far, about an hour and a half away from here. We went for the 4 days there.
A famous festival?
Yeah, it's big enough. It's where Splash Festival is and all of those in, don't ask me to pronounce it, Greifen, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, cool area and a really nice festival, a nice mix of techno and hip hop and Bon Iver were there actually, but then you also had Sudan Archives, you had Bicep were there, like there was a big mix of DJs and bands and Skepta was there, Stormzy was there, so it was a nice mix for me.
Nice. You like got to know the lakes around Leipzig and everything.
Yeah, the first one obviously was going to be Kozy. And that was a big thing. We'd cycle there quite often the first summer. But I have to say I'm not a Kozy fan anymore. I'm not a Kozy stan. I can't vouch for the Kozy.
Not anymore.
Too many people. Too many everything. Can't find a spot. Like, you know, if you want to be there, you got to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. And that doesn't sound relaxing to me.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Mark Leibergersee gal, which is very nearby. Or I love, I don't love it. I enjoy it. It's not my favourite, but it's nearer to my house. It's the Naturbad Nordost, behind Eisenbahnstrasse, up north.
Behind the Eisenbahnstrasse?
If you go through Marienpark, you cycle the whole way through Marienpark, and then you cycle another little bit. There's a lake there. It's smallish, but right beside it there's a Lidl.
Yeah.
There's a little sauna. I've never been to the sauna, but there's a Finnish sauna. And there's an ice cream shop and it's all grass around it.
Really?
And I don't know how clean it is, but look, how clean are any lake.
Yeah,
true. But it's a
not
nice
crowded
one.
Or...
It's quite nice. And I would suggest going there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Night, I've never heard about it. Like,
there you go.
Yeah. No, I have a new lake to get to know in summer.
It's not like groundbreaking, but I like it because there's lots of grass and you're kind of, I don't know, there's not loads of dirt.
Yeah.
You know, after you come out of the water and your dirty, muddy feet, like, you know, there is more grass there. It feels nicer for me.
Okay, nice. And how was the change of Stadtteil from Gohlis to this part where you have your friends or everything near? Like, it's the place near the Kaufland, right?
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's a specific situation because I was so excited to move and see all of my friends after being in, you know, lonely Gohlis. And I move finally and I'm still on my own because it's COVID and you can't see anyone and you're not allowed. And, you know, going out, there's not, you can't really explore the place. Yeah. Like, what cafes, what's here? I couldn't do any of that. So I felt a little bit lonely, I have to say. And I suppose being in the apartment on my own, and it was fun in one sense because I was able to, you know, decorated and I was able to keep myself busy. I had plenty to be doing. And again, it was during the semester ferien or the semester break. So I didn't have to teach. I didn't have to do anything. So it was quite nice. But I really don't feel like I discovered where I lived or I really reaped the benefits of where I lived until 2021, I think. I think a whole year passed. I think I really do feel, and even at that, you know, we were still in 2021 going in and out of lockdown and stuff. I didn't really appreciate anything. The only good thing that I did know immediately was the tram journey was only 10 minutes as opposed to 40 minutes on the out to Gohlis. That was one very big plus that I had. The tram from Zentrum to Gohlis was 40 minutes.
40 minutes?
Ungefähr, 35 maybe. You get the S-Bahn, but tram, if you wanted to go direct tram, it was about 40 or 35 minutes. Whoa, whereas that was a lot. Yeah. It's 10 minutes. So I was able to leave when we were back teaching in person.
Yeah.
I could leave later in the morning. Like, I didn't have to get up as early.
Yeah.
Everything was just easier. Everything was more accessible. So yeah. I cycled a lot more. Everything was more available by bike. I didn't like cycling from Golis.
Yeah.
So socially, I didn't benefit too much. But I suppose even at that, when I did meet my friends, we didn't all have to trek from Golis when we were meeting in the park or whatever. We all had a closer meeting point.
Okay, that's nice. Okay. Would you say you are settled down now? Do you feel like you settled down already in Leipzig?
In Leipzig, yes. Yeah. In Zentrum Ost? No. I want to move again. I want to settle into an apartment that I know that I'll stay in for longer.
Yeah.
So I want to be really brutal and, you know, and really picky about where I choose next to go. Because I hate moving. I hate it. With every fibre of my being. So when I move this time, that's it. Done.
Yeah.
But in Leipzig in general, I feel really comfortable here. Me and my boyfriend talked about going to Berlin.
To live?
Because he's from Berlin. So I suppose it's always crossed the mind of, you know, but for me, I don't want to sacrifice my space and my comfort just to live in Berlin. If someone came with a beautiful apartment that was affordable in Berlin, no problem. I would go there in a heartbeat. I would.
And your job here?
Say it again.
Your job? Like,
I could travel. I could commute, I think. But yeah, because I don't teach every day. See, and I could probably join, I could group all my classes on certain days. My boss actually commutes from Berlin. But that's not going to happen. That's just hypothetically. So here I'm eager to find somewhere to settle down, an apartment. I don't know where. I'd love Plagvitlind now. I love the canal. I love that area. Like, my day trip is to Plagvitz. You know what I mean? Like, I'll make a thing to go there. And I just love it. And I mourn the fact that I don't live there every time I'm there. So,
okay.
Yeah, but in Leipzig in general, I love it. I feel comfortable here. There's still more to discover, in my opinion. Yeah. I don't feel like I've run the city through. You know, I haven't gone through it too much yet.
Yeah,
there's more and more new people moving in all the time. So you know, you're not stuck with the same crew of people, are you ever? But you know, I think there's a lot more to come, and there's more possibilities for me here, I think.
Nice. And what would be do you have like a routine already for your day or activities?
I get into a rut at the start of the semester break because I want to just rot for as long as possible. But my routine would usually be I'm on, let's say in the summer semester, I teach 4 days a week.
Yeah.
But one of those days on a Monday, for example, I just have one class at 11.
Yeah.
So I don't leave the house before then. But in the summer, I'm more inclined to get up early and kind of go out on the balcony, make my coffee or my tea, go to work. And then in the daytime, I love walking around. My office is down near the Albertina Library. So that's such a lovely area as well. You're near Clara Park. I will just cycle around quite often because I don't have anywhere to be otherwise, you know, because I'm teaching, I have my teaching hours, but there's plenty more that goes with that. I'm more of a night owl when it comes to work. So I'll sit in the evening and do my work. I like to try and seize the sunlight of the day. In the summer as well, I like to try and get to the lake, the one in the north, or down to Mark Leberg at the weekend. But I also travel quite a lot. Like I'm in Berlin quite often. And I suppose now my routine as well in the last year is my radio show, that which you mentioned at the start. Yeah. Like, you know, putting that together, writing the script, coming up with the ideas, finding the music. And I'm trying to get back into a routine with that. I was quite good, but up around Christmas time, I kind of would rush it all in one night. Okay. Whereas I don't need to do that. Like I do two shows a month, so I should be just taking my time with it. But I'm my own biggest enemy because I don't have anywhere to be a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm on TikTok. So what? I deleted TikTok this morning. I thought, no, that's it. I'm done.
Wait, you're on TikTok, like watching content or you're making content?
No, watching content. Oh, okay. Like I can't stop. It's my podcast. Like I listen to TikToks like they're a podcast.
Okay.
And I try and find a long video that I can listen to that's like a minute long.
Yeah.
But like, why don't I just find a podcast? So in the last weeks, I've been listening to more podcasts. I've been turning the radio back on. I bought more books. I'm getting back into my own. I think, I don't know what happened to me. You know, actually, I know what happened to me. When I finished my master's, I thought, no, I'm doing nothing now. I don't have anything to do anymore. I have no obligations.
Yeah.
Just teach and no one else is asking for me. Yeah. I can do it whenever. And since I finished my master's last year, I've been on a downhill spiral. So in the last weeks, I've tried to get my routine back.
Okay, nice. Yeah. I think I know the feeling after finishing your studies that you say, no, okay, yes.
Yeah. That's it.
Do nothing more than the necessary to exist.
Yeah, and your justification for that is I deserve it. I worked so hard, but no, because then I end up feeling bad. That's the thing as well. I end up at the end of the day going, well, what did I do today? You know.
Yeah.
So again, winter gets me down. So now that's summer and spring and it's brighter, longer and things like that, it's not going to be a problem anymore for me, I think.
Nice. And do you have any chill out spots?
Chill out spots. I love Lenehan Park in the summer because I love to people watch. So I'm a big fan of people watching. I sit and I judge people's outfits, not badly. I just say, oh yeah, I like that. You know, I take inspiration from people.
And there's a lot of people there.
Yeah. So, and it's like a catwalk. You know, one side of that park is you have the benches.
Yeah.
And then you have the walkway and then you have the grass. So you can't not look. So that's one of the places in the summer that I love because you also have Cafe Zack Zack right across. And they have the nicest cinnamon rolls. Never mind Cinemood in Zentrum.
The new place.
Get away. They do the nicest cinnamon rolls. And the other thing is they have really nice carrot cake. And that's where I reignited my love for carrot cake from eating their carrot cake. And then I started making my own carrot cake. And now I can't eat their carrot cake anymore because mine's nicer. Because I put double the amount of oil in. But they do nice sandwiches. Their coffee's nice. I really like Cafe Zack Zack. So it's kind of, it's so close to my house. That's where I'd usually go. Otherwise, I like, believe it or not, I love walking around the centre sometimes.
Yeah.
And again, I just love looking at people. I just love people watching. So, you know,
Do you do it like obvious that you're looking?
No, I'm not obvious. Yeah. No, I don't do the staring. No, I'm quite good. I'm good at the side eye and looking. And I'm not doing it anyway badly. I just love, I'm just observant. So that little park in front of Zara, kind of near that, near the church, beside Hugendubel, there's like a little park in Zentrum, where there's a little fountain. Sometimes I'll just sit there.
Nice.
I'll get a McFlurry. I'm sitting on my own. I'm a lone ranger a lot of the time as well. That's another thing about me. Like, because everyone's working during the day.
Yeah.
So I'm finished teaching at 1 or 3. I'm just chilling. I'm just in my own thoughts all the time. And if I'm chilling with a friend, if I meet Megan, for example, we'll often meet in Rabat, even though I don't love Rabat.
Yeah.
If you find a nice corner, it's quite okay as well.
That's the Rabat Park near
the Eisenbahnstrasse. Yeah. I don't mind it. It's not my favorite park, but in the mornings it's quite nice. It's quieter.
Okay, nice. And do you have any like bars or restaurants that you like to go in? Sorry.
Okay, I'm not here for restaurant slander, but I don't think Leipzig has the most amazing variety of very good restaurants.
Okay.
Now, don't come for me. When I go to Berlin, I make a point to, you know, search out a really nice restaurant and treat myself to something that I can't get in Leipzig. I feel like Leipzig still has a couple of years to go until it gets the gets to a level where you have really good quality food, but also, you know, there's more international people coming in, and that's what you need for more food chains to open, you know. But I remember when I first discovered Cafe Luisa, which is over in the in Zentrum West near the Schauspiel, near the theatre.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And I like going to the theatre sometimes, and we would often then we used to have dinner and drinks and things like that in Cafe Luisa.
Yeah.
And I like Cafe Luisa because they have something for everyone. They have like some burgers, they have some pasta, they have a fish dish, a meat dish, starters, all that. So when I went there, I was like, yeah, I really like it, but I kind of overdid it. You know, when you're eating somewhere all the time, like you know the menu, and then when you had it last time, it's not as nice this time, and et cetera, et cetera. And then I went to the restaurant at the end of Karl-Heine-Straße, which is one of my favorite streets in Leipzig, okay. If not my favorite. I rate it way over Karli, to be honest.
Yeah.
Karl-Heine is the better version of Karli. But at the end there, just near the Konsum, right on the canal,
yeah,
there is Kaiserbad. And I remember sitting in Kaiserbad, and they have a really, really nice garden in front as well, like with seats. And the inside is a really nice industrial style building,
yeah.
A really nice restaurant. But when I sat down, I opened the menu and I recognized the font and the style of the menu.
Yeah.
And I said, I know this menu. I've seen this style before.
Okay.
This is weird. I'm a weirdo. So I knew it, like, so I started looking, and I looked at the back, and you know, it'll often tell you who owns the company.
Yeah.
And I Googled the name at the back of the company, at the back of the book. And I can't remember his name now, but it was the restaurant owner, and he owns a chain of restaurants in Leipzig, one being Cafe Luisa, which was where I knew the menu from.
Yeah.
You have Kaiserbad. You have, oh God, what's it called?
Cafe Zack Zack.
No. Imagine. It's on Karli. It's right beside the Suppenfamilie there. I can't remember the name of it now. It'll come to me. But he owns that, or the Löffelfamilie, not the Suppenfamilie, but you get what I mean. It's called, hang on.
Feinkost.
No. Hang on. Oh no. Volkshaus. He owns that as well.
Yeah.
It looks very fancy from the outside. It's actually not that fancy at all. Same price and vibes as Cafe Luisa and Kaiserbad. But they all have the same style of menu, just in different, with different specials, you know. So there's still a fish dish and a meat dish, but it's different to the other one. So I kind of rotate between them. He owns one or two. He owns another one down on Karli, like there's a little fine cost down on Karli as well. Near the French cafe there. Don't ask me the name. I can't speak French, but yeah, I rotate between those ones. But I went to Cafe Mala once, which is just behind, it's just near Eisenbahnstraße. It's a vegan vegetarian restaurant.
Okay.
It's in like an apartment building almost. Yeah. So the back garden is the size of like an Innenhof.
Yeah.
Delicious food. Really, okay. Really nice. They change their specials all the time.
Yes.
Another, and one of my favorite areas of Leipzig as well, other than Karl-Heine-Straße, is Zentrum West, where you have the old Plattenbaus, where you have Stoned, you know, the bar Stoned, and there's a cafe there called Cafe Tunichtgut. Cafe Tunichtgut.
Okay.
And it's a little cafe, really, really nice. They change their special every day. They post their stuff online as well.
Yeah.
So I really like that Stadtteil there. It's just, I suppose when you come out of the center ring of Leipzig, you just come across, it's really, really near Cafe Luisa. Yeah. If you come out of Cafe Luisa, go right, and you're in that little Stadtteil there.
Okay.
Love it. So nice. And the last place that I really like is, it's a pop-up pasta place, and it depends where they're in different places.
Okay.
The first and the only time that I've had them once, I don't know, but I am a fan of their work. They are often in the MDBK in Zentrum.
Yeah.
They're in there on a certain day. They're called Monopoly Pasta, and they do handmade pasta.
Nice.
And I'm actually going there soon as well in another pop-up. They're actually near Rabeit.
Yeah.
so near to me. But they also are in Lindenau sometimes. So they're kind of okay. around the place. And they do, again, there's like three things on the set menu of the evening, two yeah. pasta dishes and like a salad. But yeah. okay, the portions aren't huge, but are pasta portions huge in Italy? No, they're usually the kind of starter before yeah. you have your meat, your yeah. main meat dish. So really, really nice. Just fresh and simple.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of places that I didn't even know they exist. Like, cool.
I'm a bit, yeah. this whole chain of restaurants that man owns,
yeah.
it was like fireworks went off in my head. I was like, oh my God, amazing. Now I have three yeah. of the same restaurant just in different fonts.
Okay, nice.
And it's cool. I like it for guests because, you know, when someone comes to visit and you're like, what do you want to eat? And they're like, yeah. I don't mind. You tell me. And then you have to make the decision to go eat Asian food or la 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 food.
Yeah.
No, we go somewhere where there's this, and this, and you can choose. So nice. It makes my life easier for guests and okay. friends and things like that as well.
That's a very good tip. I'm going to use it. Yeah.
Good.
Nice. Okay, Emma. So what's with right now? Where do you find yourself? What do you have in works? Like, how's your life now?
Okay, well, in my professional life, if we shall call it that, and my studies, I suppose they're intertwined now as I work in the university. I just finished my master's, and I'll be going home soon for my graduation ceremony. We have one of those in Ireland with the gown and the cap and everything. Nice. You don't do that in Germany. So yeah. I need to do that for the last time before I begin my PhD studies.
Wow.
In starting soon in the new semester.
So you will be officially a professor.
Will I though? When are you a professor? I don't even know. I'll be a doctor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm a doctor, Emma Power.
Yeah. Dr. Power.
Dr. Power in however many years it takes me. So, yeah, and I'll be continuing what I kind of did for my bachelor or for my master's, excuse me, which is color terminology
yeah.
in Irish, right? That's all I'm going to give you because I couldn't get into it because I don't even know myself. So that's kind of in the works. Then in my personal life, we have my radio show that I do and I want to try and get into light DJing. Very light DJing.
Okay, what does it mean?
I just want to be able to mix two songs together and play
okay.
for friends or,
yeah.
you know, I love 80s music. I want to be able yeah. to maybe in the future, next year's start 80s yeah. music nights once a month or okay. twice every 2 months or something, you know, where you've disco and yeah. and things like that. I don't think there's a big space for that at the moment in Leipzig. Yeah. There's a gap there, I think, my opinion now. Yeah. I'm always looking for parties with disco music, and there are, don't get me wrong, but I want it to be a little bit more specific.
Yeah.
So I'd love to do that, but again, I love saying, yeah, I'll do it. But again, I don't have enough hours in the yeah. day, but okay. maybe now since I deleted TikTok.
Yeah.
yeah. But yeah. And then in my personal life, then I want to, as I said already, I want to find a new apartment, a bigger apartment. Nice. So in the next month, I suppose, yeah, it'll be getting stuck into starting my studies,
yeah.
traveling home. I've a conference or two that I want to go to again, all to do with work and study and learning and Irish and, you know, broadening my brain. But in the behind the scenes, yeah. then I am at the same time learning how to DJ and moving my entire life into a new apartment.
Wow.
So we'll see which one prevails out yeah. of all of those. I don't know. I feel like the PhD will suffer until yeah. I sort everything else out. Okay. But the last thing, this is just what I want to do. I want to write a book. I want to write a children's Irish book on the topic of what I kind of did my master's on, loosely based.
Yeah. Interesting. So, wow.
Yeah, I want to do a collaboration with my boyfriend. He do the illustration, yeah. I do the writing.
Nice.
Again, I have the skeleton in my head. I haven't yeah. put one word to paper, okay. but I have the concept. So that's, I suppose, half a quarter of the battle maybe. So let's see. It might take 2 or 3 years, yeah. but it's there somewhere. It's a goal.
Nice. Like, it's nice to have a project. Well, you have many projects right
yeah
now.
But again, when one finishes, I have the next one to kind of follow.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, I like it. Sounds very, very exciting. Yeah, everything, like a very exciting future.
Let's see. Let's see what
I hope everything works out.
Thank you.
The radio show, like, where can we hear you? Like, what's the name of it? Or
it's all in the Irish language, but that doesn't mean you can't listen, because I don't talk for, I talk probably in the hour, I talk for a maximum 10 minutes altogether. Yeah. It's called Croí na nOchtadaí in Irish, which means the heart of the 80s. Croí na nOchtadaí. Oh, okay. But it's on a radio platform or radio station called Radio, or Radio in Irish, Radio Fáilte, F-A-Fáilte. Fáilte is an accent. So if you look up Emma Power Radio Fáilte, if you even Google F-A-I-L-T-E, it'll come up. Belfast, it's in the north of Ireland.
Yeah.
You should find me there. I'm on Wednesdays, Fridays and Saturdays. I'm repeated. Wednesdays German time I'm on at 9 p.m. Fridays I'm on at 8 p.m. and Saturdays I'm on at 2 p.m. in the day.
Cool.
So if you just look, find Radio Fáilte, you'll find me there.
Nice.
Playing music and chatting.
We'll give it a listen.
Thank you. Good. You'll enjoy it, I think.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Okay, Emma, it was a very, very nice chat with you, like very, very interesting to hear like your childhood, like your points in your life, how do you decided to come to Leipzig, then your life right now and your exciting plans that you have. I want to congratulate you on your master's and wish you a lot of luck in projects. Like,
thank
I
you.
Hope everything comes to fruition and looking for a new apartment. Yeah, I hope it goes smoothly.
Thank you. I need all the luck I can get, I think. But thank you. And I really enjoyed chatting. It's nice. I don't know. You don't, for someone to sit and listen to me for an hour and actually get it all out, it gives me a bit of perspective on my life, I think, as well, to think about how far I've come. Because sometimes it's easy to think, you know, oh, what am I doing? Or I'm stuck here. Am I doing the right thing? But I think when you're telling someone, it sounds... Yeah, when you put it all together like that, my life is fine. I'm good.
I'm glad that you can see that, because like I am amazed, really. Like,
thank you.
From my eyes, it's like amazing.
Thank you so much. That's so nice.
Everything you said. Yeah. For this closing section, I want to give you the room or the opportunity to give a shout out. Like if you want to give a shout out here for a restaurant, a bar, or for yourself and your projects, like this is your space right now.
Well, you've already shouted me out, haven't you, for my radio show. I suppose the other place, or the place that I would shout out, let me think. Oh, I have it. And it was only a recent discovery of mine, is a bar that I'm such a big fan of now. Yeah. And it's the Mensa Bar.
The Mensa Bar.
Most people probably know it. I don't know how I've never seen it. Yeah. It's up above, again, on my favourite street, on Karl Heinestrasse. You know the Konsum, that building?
Yeah.
If you're coming from the top of, you know, where the tram stops, you're coming from town, let's say, and you're heading towards it, before you enter the building itself where the Konsum is, there's another door just a little bit further behind it. And if you go up to the top floor, it's a pool bar. Okay. A games bar. They have a big vitrine of every kind of board game.
I think I've been there.
It's unreal. And all of the furniture is lovely. Yeah. Mid-century modern DDR furniture.
Nice.
At the back, if you're a smoker, there's a whole section of a smoker's area.
Yeah.
Best thing ever. I've only been three times, but that's my shout out. And that's going to be my new hangout spot. This is why I'd love to move west.
Yeah.
I'd be broke from playing pool all the time.
Okay, nice. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much again for coming to the interview, to my show. And I appreciate your time. And thank you very much.
Thank you, too.
And there you have it. I want to give you a big, big thank you for joining in and to tell you that your support means the world to me. If you enjoyed today's episode and want more content, make sure to hit that subscribe button.
Also, don't forget to follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Leute in Leipzig. If you have a story to tell or want to be featured on the podcast, send me an email at leuteinleipzig@outlook.de. I'd really, really, really love to hear from you. Thank you very much for sharing your time with me, and until next time, auf Wiederhören, tschüss!